Please appreciate that so very much. I just love it when God's plan just kind of comes together. Amen. This message I'll be bringing tonight, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter number 1. We're going to go to a very familiar verse. We'll read as our text first, and then we'll move on to other verses this evening as well. But like I said, I just love it when God's plan just comes together. This message God has placed upon my heart over a month ago. I began building this message and making it ready. And God began dealing with my heart about this matter later last week, amen. And so I'm going to bring to you what God has given me to give to you. It would be my idea that this message this evening would be one of exhortation and one that would edify you and uplift you in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. In case you're just wondering, there's only 2 points of the message, amen. So we'll be done when the Lord's done, amen. So let's stand as a give respect. We begin reading in Joshua chapter number 1 and verse number 8. Joshua 1 and verse number 8. The Bible said in Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse number 8, "The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you for your love, Father. We thank you for this encouraging verse here in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. And Father, I'm so thankful that contained in this verse, it gives us the trifecta of what we need to do, Father, to be prosperous and have a good success. But Father, now as we would think about the success giver and one that promises, Father, that if we follow after your word and we meditate upon your word, Father, that we'll have good success and we'll be prosperous. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. And Father, may we just be reminded of this one thought this evening, that God never fails. So Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching and teaching of your word, Father, to our hearts. And I pray, Father, that when we come away from this building this evening, Father, that we'll come away knowing that you never fail. And may that exhortation, Father, comfort our hearts and comfort our spirits for many days and weeks and months to come. And Father, we surely want to give you praise and honor and glory for the work that you're going to do. Save that one that could be here, Father, doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Help them, Father, that you never fail in this area of salvation as well. So, Father, we just love you. We do thank you. We seek to give you honor and glory and edify your children this very evening. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. And you may be seated. Immediately take your Bible and turn to the book of John. John chapter number 14. I want to read to you a parallel passage. Now, it's not an exact replica of what we just read in Joshua 1, verse 8, but I think it's close enough that we could say that it's a parallel passage that's found in the words of Jesus Christ himself in John 14. We'll begin reading in verse 21, then we'll jump down to verse number 23. I pray that you'll keep your Bible open this evening as we'll be turning and asking you to turn to several passages of scriptures this evening as well. Again, the title of this message is simply this: God never fails. God never fails. John 14, beginning in verse number 21, the Bible says this: He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of the Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Notice the verse number 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So when we think about these two passages of Scripture, it talks about meditating upon the Word and following God's way and following God's Word. We find that if we'll do that, then we'll be blessed and we'll be honored and we'll have great success in this life. Showing our love to Jesus is seen in how that we do His teaching every day. If we say we love Jesus, but we don't do His teachings, guess what? We can't really truly say that we really love Jesus. And His teachings are clearly written down for us in His Word. That's why we're commanded to meditate upon His Word. We're commanded to study His Word and memorize His Word. And so His teachings are clearly written down. So for you to say, well, Pastor Dave, I'm ignorant of God's Word, there's no excuse for you failing to do them, because we find they're contained right here for you and I. And just as God has said in Psalm 103 in verse number 7, the Bible said, "Made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel." He has made his way known unto you and I as well. We know something about the ways of God because the scriptures record where he did miraculous deeds. I think of the very first verse of the Bible in Genesis 1 in verse number 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then in Matthew 19 and verse number 26, the Bible said, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." I want you to understand this evening that he is the Almighty One. And as we think on this thought of God never fails, notice first of all, point number one, if you're taking notes, write this down, the way. That word way refers to God's basic character, which prompts his action. I'll repeat that again. I think it's worth you understanding it one more time. That word way refers to God's basic character, which prompts his action. Understanding God's way isn't always easy, is it? I struggle with knowing God's way at different times in my life. And I think the reason is, and I think Isaiah hit the nail on the head in Isaiah 55 in verse number 9, where he says this, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That's why oftentimes we have trouble understanding the way or the ways of God. As Christians, we are admonished to pattern our own way after his way. And so if we are going to pattern our way after his way, we're going to have to get into God's word and understand what his way is so we can copy and be just like his way. Notice some, first of all, this evening that were in the way, so to speak. I think, first of all, the nation of Israel. Israel was told repeatedly to walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you that ye may live. And notice the results if you walk in the way that God has commanded. The Bible said that it may be well with you, according to Deuteronomy 5 and the first part of verse number 33. But guess what? You know as well as I do, the nation of Israel, they didn't always walk in the way of the Lord. But before you get too down on them, think about your own self. We don't always walk in the way of the Lord. We desire to, but Paul says, "I do those things that I don't want to do, and those things that I don't want to do, he said, I do." And so understand this, that Israel was walking in the way of the Lord, but they didn't always do what they should have done. According to Psalm 81 in verse 13, the Bible says this, "Oh, that my people have hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways." We find that God had warned the nation of Israel that the way that they were going was the wrong way, and it was not going to be good for them. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, we find the writer of that wonderful book of Proverbs says this, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death." And I think oftentimes we find ourselves in this predicament that we look out and we leave off the Lord and we don't turn to him. We don't walk in his ways and we look at in our own ways and we look out and we say, "Well, that just seems good. It seems like the right thing to do. It seems the proper thing to do. So I'm just going to go this way, irregardless of whether it's God's way or not." Some of you might remember a man by the name of Frank Sinatra. No matter what you thought of him, he pretty much was a good singer, amen. And he had a lot of trouble with the mob and different things that didn't have the kind of lifestyle that you and I would like for him to have. But then again, he never claimed to be a Christian. But you remember, the most famous song that Frank Sinatra was known for was a song that was entitled "My Way." Guess what? My way is almost always the wrong way, and it was for him as well. And speaking about the Jews, the book of Hebrews speaks about the consequences of not following God's way. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3, verses 10 through verse number 11. I know we don't normally stop and take the time to turn to the scriptures, but I think it's important for us to do it this evening, amen. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 10 through verse number 11. I can still remember my pastor in England. Any scripture that he ever would read, we'd turn to it. Unless he just quoted it off the top of his head. We were a Bible-turning group of people in that church. And that was good. It taught us how to find passages in the Bible. Amen. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. Notice what God's word says. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do err in their heart, and they have not known, get these words, my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into rest. See, I think about some of the great patriarchs. I think about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I think particularly of Moses, who was an eyewitness to the magnificent works of God towards the nation of Israel. I think about Solomon, who wrote in Proverbs 16 and verse number 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So we find that there were some people in the Bible that walked in God's ways. The nation of Israel oftentimes did, but yet more often they probably did not. But thank God for the remnant of his people and his prophets and his children that would walk in the way of the Lord. But then I think there's another group that walked in the way of the Lord. And that is the apostles. The apostles of the New Testament were also witnesses to the great blessings of God by following the way in which and we live our lives. And so they looked at the life of Jesus Christ. They listened to his teaching. They patterned their life after his life and his teachings from the Word of God. I think Apollos was a great example of this. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 25, the Bible says this. This man, speaking about Apollos, was instructed, get this now, in the way of the Lord. But being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. But then guess what? It took another great couple God used by the name of Aquila and Priscilla, who took him aside and expounded unto him. Notice what the Bible says, the way of God more perfectly. So we find that Israel walked in the way. We find that the apostles walked in the way. And they led other people, such as Apollos, to walk in the way of God. But then thirdly, I think there was another great character in the New Testament by the name of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist came to the Jews, and the Bible says he came to them in the way of righteousness in Matthew 21 and verse number 32. But guess what? The Bible continues on and says this, and they believed him not. So we find that John came preaching the righteousness of Jesus Christ, him being the forerunner of our wonderful Savior, preparing the way for the Savior to come and do his great work here on this earth. But yet the Bible said they received him not. So listen, the point I'm making for you and I is simply this. You could be as good as John the Baptist, and quite pointedly, we'll probably never match his greatness in the eyes of the Lord, amen. But just say you did, and you obtained that greatness in the eyes of the Lord, and not in the eyes of man, but in the eyes of the Lord. And listen, you need to understand this, that the Bible said they believed him not. So you could be on the way, and you could be God's man and doing, fulfilling exactly what God would have you to do and preach and teach about the way, but doesn't mean that they're going to listen, and doesn't even mean they're going to hear. They don't hear the great one, John the Baptist. Not going to hear you and I. Well, we have Israel, we have the apostles were on the way, we have John the Baptist that was in the way, but then I think about God himself. God's way is wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ, who said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Understand this evening that there is no other way apart from Christ and God's way. It's his way, or as we would say in the Air Force, the highway. It's the Air Force way or it's the highway. And listen, for our understanding this evening, it's God's way or it's the highway. There's no other way. And oftentimes we so get disturbed and tripped up in this life when we try to find our way outside of God's way. We try to find that pathway that God has for us, and we find that we're leaning to the left and leaning to the right, and we're not going steady straight down the middle. And my friend, we get off of God's way for our life and turn into the path of our own way. Well, we find that God says that the way in this life is through Jesus Christ. So we have Israel found the way. The apostles found the way. John the Baptist found the way. And God's way was through his son, Jesus Christ. But then notice something else. Notice the other followers of Jesus Christ. The followers of Jesus Christ were referred to by the priest as people of, can you get this? This way. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch because they followed, guess what? The way of Christ. Paul sailed to Philippi, and there, when a certain damsel came up to him, notice what she said, show us the way of salvation. When Paul was in Ephesus preaching in the synagogue, we find that people rejected his sermons. And notice what they said. They spake evil of that way, the way of Jesus Christ, the way of God the Father. Well, Israel was in the way. The apostles were in the way. John the Baptist was in the way. God had a way through his son Jesus Christ. The followers of Jesus were known as being in that way. And I think of something else this evening. I think about independent fundamental Baptist churches. Baptist churches generally have been people of this way. It's the way of truth. It's the way of life. It's the way of the cross that leads home. That's the way that you and I are in. And for you to be on any other path that leads away from the truth and leads away from the life and the way that the cross leads home, we're going the wrong way in the wrong direction. And I think you can take a good look at yourself and you could figure out if you're in God's way, if you're following the way of the local New Testament church as they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But then I think tonight as well, there's another group that was in the way. As for God, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 118 and verse number 30. Psalm 118 and verse number 30. That ought to be pretty easy for you to find. Excuse me, Psalm 18. Psalm 18 and verse number 30. Notice what Psalm 18 and verse 30 says. The Bible said in Psalm 18 and verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. I want you to think about this thought of being in the way as for God. That first part of verse number 30 of Psalm 118, the Bible said his way is perfect. It always works. His way, guess what, will always succeed. His way, guess what, is always the best way. After considering all that, I know it's the easiest way to be on God's way. You say, well, I've been saved for a while trying to follow God's way, and it hasn't really been that easy. Just imagine how hard it would be if you weren't following the way of Christ. What if you were on the Satan's way or on the highway to hell, so to speak? So thank God for that. We find that his way is perfect. He never fails in what he sets out to accomplish. Thank God for that. Well, not only do we have, first of all, the way, then notice quickly, and secondly, notice the whim. Because we are on the way, we understand that there is the whim. You say, well, what did he win? What did Christ win? Well, first of all, he won the battle over sin for you and I. Turning your Bibles to Romans chapter number 6, verses 17 and 18. Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. And notice what the Bible has to say. The Bible says in Romans 6, beginning in verse 17 down through 18. But God be thanked that ye were, and if you're in the habit of underlining things in your Bible, I want to ask you to underline that word, that ye were the service of sin, but ye have obeyed. Again, if you're in the habit of underlining words, underline that word obey, from the heart that form a doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Thank God that he won the battle over sin for you and I. Jesus fought that battle against Satan, and he won. And Romans chapter 8 and verse number 2, the Bible says this, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and the law of death. Then I'm reminded of Matthew 4 in verse number 1, when the Bible speaks about Jesus being led up in the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We find in there three times Satan tempted Jesus Christ. Three times Satan failed. Three times Satan was defeated. And every test by Satan, Jesus quoted the Bible, and the devil went down in a big defeat. So my friend, when you and I come to a place in our life when God allows temptation to come into our life, I think it would behoove us to memorize Scripture ahead of time, that we'll be able to quote Scripture just like the Savior did in order to defeat the devil. As a matter of fact, Jesus came to earth to destroy the works of the devil. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 8, we find this: "For the purpose of the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Understand this evening that because he won the battle over sin for us, Christians has won a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, he fought the battle for us. He won the victory for us. We no longer have to fight for victory. We just march towards victory. The battle has been fought and the battle has been won. You say, how is that possible, Pastor Carol? I tell you how it's possible, because the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible also says that Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Jesus fought that battle over death, fought that battle over hell, fought that battle over the grave. Understand this evening that death couldn't claim him, hell couldn't condemn him, and the grave could not hold him. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in Revelation 1 and verse number 18, he said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen." And have the keys of hell and death. See, Jesus took with him after his resurrection the power of death, hell, and the grave. And he holds that power and authority in him. Well, we see that we can win because Jesus Christ won the battle. But then notice, lastly, there is victory for us all. Understand this evening that we win because he won. Turn back in your Bibles to Romans chapter number 8. You should already be there. Just turn over a page or two, Romans 8. Verse number 35 through verse number 37. We win because he won. Notice in Romans 8, beginning in verse number 35 through verse number 37. The Bible says in Romans 8 and 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." And notice this wonderful verse 37. "Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." You see, because he won, we won. Amen. It's kind of like that if you are married and the publisher's clearinghouse shows up at your house and they said, "Mr. Carroll, you have won the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstake. You're going to get $5,000 a week for the rest of your life. And then, because we love you so much, that Avi, you can pick one other person in your immediate family to receive the same thing." You say, "What are you saying?" I'm simply saying this. They win because I won. And because Christ won, guess what? You and I won. Are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I think you and I ought to get off our laurels and understand this, that we're not a defeated foe. Christ defeated Satan. And you and I are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You say, "Well, how does he have the authority to do that?" I'll show you why that Christ has the authority to do that, to make us more than conquerors through him that loved us. We win because he won. 1 Corinthians 15, look at that familiar verse number 55. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse number 55. The Bible says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But notice verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The reason that you and I are victorious, the reason that you and I can be conquerors, because Jesus Christ died and rose again victoriously, conquered death, hell, and the grave, and we can be conquerors with him because of what he has accomplished. You know, Bible history teaches us this in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 47. The Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord. And I think so many times we try to approach the battles and trials of this life and temptations that come our way, and we pull out our swords, so to speak. We pull out our spears and try to fight the battle. Understand this, that it's not our battle. It's the Lord's battle. The battle has already been fought. The victory has already been won. You understand this evening that you and I, as God's children, we're on the winning side. Our side wins. I know you may look out and you may look at politics and you may look at all that's going on in America today with all the perversion and all the strange laws that are being passed today. Who would believe here that in the South, and Virginia is still in the South, isn't it? Would believe that starting in July 1st of this year that you can legally smoke marijuana if you're 18 years of age and having your possession, I don't know, an ounce, I don't know what it is, three plants. You can grow it in your backyard. Who would believe that, my friend? So we look out and we can say, we're not winning. You can rest assured that I've read the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, and we are victorious because he was victorious. We're on the winning side. There's victory for us because of God. And the odds of winning always go to those who stay on God's side in every battle. I don't know about you. As I already said, it may appear that the other side is winning. And it may appear to be that way, but the truth of the matter is, it's not. And they're not going to win. And you stay on God's side. We'll not take time to turn there, but in 1 Samuel chapter 14, we have a little illustration about Jonathan, how he expressed his confidence in God when the nation of Israel was about to be attacked. And he said, basically, he said this, I'm tired of sitting around. I got to go do something. And notice the confidence he placed in God. In 1 Samuel 14, verse 6, he says that it may be that the Lord will work for us. He said, how do we know? Maybe God's going to be on our side. Maybe God's going to work for us. And he continues, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Notice that first part of that verse. For there is no restraint in the Lord. The only thing that can be said to restrain God is our unbelief. That's the only thing that would stop God from working. And Matthew 13 and verse 58, speaking about Jesus, the Bible says this, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He was speaking about his hometown of Nazareth. And so we find that there is no restraint in the Lord. God's power is never restrained, but he may be restrained because of our unbelief. So if you only believe and have faith and trust in God, God has the opportunity to work in our lives. God may choose not to act with him until we partner with him, until we put our trust in him. So understand this, my friend, when all seems dark and all seems gloomy, put your faith and trust in him. Partner with him. Then that verse says to save by many or by few. The odds are already against Israel. They are way, way outnumbered. But really, did it matter if it was 1,000,000 to 1 or 1,000 to 1 or 100 to 1? It doesn't really make that much difference. Outnumbered is outnumbered. Numbers or odds do not restrain God. But the unbelief of the nation of Israel could have restrained God. Listen, Jonathan never had the opportunity to read the New Testament. But if he did read the New Testament, he would have had a Romans 8 and verse 31 heart, where the Bible said, if God be for us, who can be against us? And he went and spied out and found a place by a jagged rock and a place by another jagged rock. And he went in and had a great victory. They found a way to go in that they didn't know about. And God gave them great victory. Jonathan had little faith in himself, but he had great faith in a big God. Jonathan didn't say this. I can win a great victory with God's help. That would be you and I. We would say that. Okay, God, it's me and you. And man, with me and you, God, I can win a great victory for you. Jonathan's heart was a little bit different. Jonathan's heart said this: God, you can win this victory even though you chose me to accomplish it. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles chapter number 32. I wish we had the time to go into this great passage of Scripture, but we don't. But I just want to read a couple of verses. 2 Chronicles chapter number 32. Probably your pages are stuck together. We don't turn the Chronicles very much, do we? If you have a new Bible, does it get open to Chronicles very often? Maybe once a year when you read through the Bible, huh? 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Look at verse number 7 and verse number 8. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 32, beginning in verse number 7, "Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him." And notice verse number 8. "With him is the arm of flesh." In other words, the writer is saying with him, it's in what he has. It's in his army. It's in his horses. It's in all that he has. But then continue on. "But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. So here we find the nation of Israel is about ready to be destroyed. And we find that King Hezekiah looks out and he says, "Hey, don't look at the armor of the flesh. It's true. There's more of them than there is of us. But understand this, that they have the armor of the flesh, but we have the Lord our God to help us." My friend, I'm afraid sometimes we forget who we serve and how powerful and mighty and almighty that God is. It doesn't matter if we're few. It doesn't even matter if we're many who do this work of the Lord. There's still one person who you never want to work against, and that person is God himself. And when that happens, when you work against God and turn against God and turn from God's way down your own way and your own pathway, and guess what? Mark it down. You always, always will lose. As I bring this message to a close this evening, I want you to think on this thought. If we walk in his way, we will win. If we walk in his way, we will win. When the nation of Israel walked in his way, God did wonderful things and they won. When they began to backslide on God and murmur and complain and become to be disobedient, guess what? They did not win. God's hand of chastisement came upon them over and over again. In the book of Judges, it was a cylindrical cycle of serving God to backsliding to repenting, coming back to serving God over and over and over and over as every judge came and the judges went. If we walk in his way, we will win. You say, why is that, Pastor Carroll? I'll tell you why. Because God never fails. That's why we'll win, because God never fails. Pat, even in the death of Brother Paul, God never fails. To Tim and Debbie, even all your eye troubles, guess what? God never fails. To Tracy and Sandy, even with your bouts of cancer, understand this, that God never fails. To Sandy, with all the trials she's had at the public school, guess what? God never fails. To Mary and the others whose loved ones aren't saved yet, understand this, that God never fails. To Pastor James and Miss Shannon, understand that all your trials with your previous trailer and this trailer and your contract and no contract with their new house, that all the ensuing remodeling, understand this, that God never will fail you. To Kay, the recent stay in the hospital and all the ensuing and your ensuing heart attacks and all your medical tests and that you've been going through, understand, Kay, that God never fails. To those that have children that aren't serving the Lord, and maybe they aren't saved, maybe they're backslidden, maybe they're stuck in some far-flung place of this world, put there by society, understands that God never fails. To those who are fighting sicknesses and disease, understand this evening that God never fails. And to those find yourself in whatever situation God has allowed you to be placed in, understand this, that God never fails. Understand for those working SBC 2.1 for 2021, as the bus people go out and make visitation and work for hours upon hours, understand this, that God never fails. If you'll walk in His way, you'll win, because God never fails. Father, we come before You this evening.